Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome again.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag @2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
All right. Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. We are on live location for tonight's broadcast, and it's somewhat abbreviated, as we announced the other day. We're going to pretty much operate on a open mic type of venue or schedule. But we're right here at the second annual New Way Outreach Ministry. This is their basketball thing. And we shared an earlier post, and as you may be able to see later on, we have two young men out here. Right now we got about 10 young men out here right now, and they are learning skills of the game, formally. Some of them have natural skills, but they're learning how to channel those formally. Well-experienced basketball player and star in the person of our co-host, Pastor, and he is the pastor, founder of New Way Outreach Ministry. Y'all excuse me, it's kind of humid out here right now. It rained a little bit in Nashville, and we were blessed to have the rain subside, and so we can go through. We're hoping tomorrow will be just as kind to us as Saturday for our finale. All right, 657-383-0944 is the number to call. Listen to us on Facebook. You're right here in Nashville. Give me a holler. Let's talk about it. Dockery Christian Academy. It's a small, non-denominational Christian school started by yours truly. So why did you do that, Dr. White? You started Dockery Christian Academy. Well, as a former special ed teacher, as you heard, and someone who has been advocating for families and young people for the last 2-plus decades, I know some things. And I know that there are some gaps, and our children have fallen through the cracks. There's a population of students who are desperately in need of a specific approach to address the barriers to learning for them, both socially, emotionally, and even academically. And we're grateful and humble to be able to offer that. So we're endeavoring to start this year off on a small scale and for the young people, and you'll be hearing more about us there. Dr. Christian Academy, check us out online at dockeryacademy.org. That's Dockery, D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. All right? But again, 6550 Nashville. You may be saying, what? Give me a call. Holler. Tell me I'm wrong. Explain to me why. Like I'm 3 years old. Explain to me why I'm wrong about that. Again, we're here, and we got one of the elders from the community out here with us, and Sticks, and Pastor Wallace out there working with the young folks, and we got some teenagers here as well on the court, and I'm sure they'll fit in here. A little bit later, we're going to endeavor to teach the little young fellas how to share a rhythm. Outcast, what do you say, man? Nashville
hey.
In the house.
Hey, how you doing?
Man, we holding it's hot out here, man.
I know.
You know what? Hey, you
yes,
know
sir.
What? I don't need a tan, man.
No, you got to be around.
Yeah,
you got to be around, tan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I don't think it's gonna go away. I don't think it's gonna ever get away from me. But I learned a little. Little fellas
no.
are out here enjoying themselves, man, and we're gonna try
right.
to show them how to keep a rhythm and a tune on some buckets here, Outcast, and just a little bit. You know what I mean? It's all
yeah.
good. It's all. Yeah. I hope don't nobody embarrass yourself out there. I'm talking about grown folks now. But yeah, how
right.
you doing today, sir? How's the family?
I'm doing good, you know. Been walking around on my walking cane.
Oh, that's right. You okay, all right. Yeah, we need to get you back 100 so we can get you out there on the battlefield, man.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm coming along. I think I'm about ready to put the cane down and start
okay.
walking on my own. I still been taking pills and stuff like that, so I haven't been
well,
moving
praise.
Too
well,
much.
Well,
I'm going to physical therapy. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm sure the family wants you to get back to 100, so we ain't going to push that too fast.
Oh, yeah.
Let that do its thing.
Oh, yeah.
Let that do its thing.
Well, just a little slowdown.
Okay.
Rest period.
Temporary setback. All right. Well, again, friends, you're listening to Talk Straight, and we're here at the basketball, the first day of the basketball clinic. Prayerfully, the rain will be gracious to us tomorrow and not come down on us at that time. And we'll do our finale. We hope to have our parents out here on Saturday. But we're glad to work with these young men right now. Bright young men. With the whole world ahead of them, Malcat. Whole wide world ahead of them. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of opening up a little bit for loose conversation. Of course, there are a few things I can talk about, but we're opening up a loose conversation. Anything you have on your mind today?
No. You know me. Basically, I just like to lately just sit back and listen, you know, and then I'll express a comment sooner or later.
Okay. I did want to kind of follow up on something we've been talking about, and I'll just kind of, y'all stop me, 657-383-0944. As callers call in, we'll stop and recognize you, and y'all stop me in a moment if you want to. But one of the things that we talked about, particularly Tuesday, and really the last couple of weeks, and that is tapping into the imagination, the talent, the gift of our young people. And it's
right.
interesting to how when the older people start reflecting on their life, right, and sometimes they
right.
see themselves children, and they want a second shot at it. But the mistakes they made,
right.
it seems like they model those mistakes for the babies and don't want to really face them because they feel like they've been indicted, like somebody, you know what I mean, putting them down. When
right.
the truth is, regardless of what we've done wrong in our lifetime, the blessing is we're still here to reteach, redirect, and focus on that thing, right? So our babies
right.
don't have to do wrong. That's what
exactly.
seems to be most important to me. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Well, no, you're not wrong at all. You know, I mean, like me, you know, the things that I did, the things that I got myself involved with as a young man, I did everything in my power to keep my children from even going anywhere near it. This is why,
right.
You know, I spent my time nurturing them and teaching them and getting them prepared for the adult world, you know.
That
was the main thing that I could do as being a father. You know, I did not run, nor did I neglect them under any circumstances whatsoever. And, yes, I gave them a better life than I had.
I'm sorry. I was just speaking to some of the gentlemen out here at the park. Keep going. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Right, you know, and a lot of the things that I did not have coming up as a child, I made sure, you know, that they had it.
There you go.
And that was my objective, and I succeeded, even though, you know, some of them probably have, you know, a little anger, but the thing is I stated this. When you become a parent, whatever fault you find in me, you're better than me. But, like I told
That's right.
you know, you would not beat me. You know, you will not beat me.
No matter how big
it's
still you know. Right.
You know,
that's
and I made
thing.
Sure of that.
Yes, sir. Isn't that what you want, though, for your children, Alcan?
Right.
To see them do well.
Right.
You know?
What you want. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm listening to you.
Oh, no. Well, I had cut you off. Go ahead. I'm listening.
So I was just saying, I was agreeing with you that's what you want for your children, is to see them do well. You want them to excel and improve, you know. So I think
it's stated, you know, I didn't want them coming up the way that I came up. I think I told you this once before, maybe several times in the past, you know, when it came to my father. I only saw my father once in my life.
Okay.
And I was going on, you know, I was 20 years old during that point when I saw him, but I used to talk to him on the phone. I remember the first time I talked to him on the phone, I told him I wanted a car. You know, I was 16 years old. He said, okay, son, I'm going to bring you a car. Now,
okay.
That was my first time that I had ever talked to him in my life at 16. His uncles and aunts, I used to see them all the time, but I never asked him where was he and what he was doing. He was a further thing from my mind. You know, that came about in my heart at a young age. But when I was a little kid, 6, 7, 8 years old, and I said to myself, if I had children, I'm not going to do my children the way that he done me. So that prepared me, too. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm listening.
No. I'm listening to you. And that's the thing. That's the thing. Please keep on. I like what you're saying.
So, I mean, and he was in Chicago, you know, round up there to Green to Green somewhere. Around there, hanging all down to Jewtown, which is, you know, at one point we lived in Chicago. You know, at one point my mother moved to Chicago. But, again, not one time did I ask where was my father. Again, the furthest thing from my mind, because my mind was already made up. Back in 1996. He ended up, they put him in a nursing home, and, at the time, come see me, come do this, come do that. And like when I was 20 years old, he tried to get me to go back to Chicago. But I had already lived in Chicago. I didn't want to go back to Chicago. He came down in an older model car, you know. I was sitting drew. I had a Cadillac.
Right.
He said, well, son, here you go, your car. I said, well, there's mine now, you know.
No. It's right now it's just you and I, but there's a bridge that even those dads that made mistakes, you know, and they were not there, there's a bridge to be built, you know what I mean? Because like you, what I'm hearing you say, you didn't pass on your hurt and pain to your children. You tried to learn from mistakes so you can make it better and improve, you know, and that's really where it is. My dad, he was in his, late 70s or so when we finally squared away on some things, you know what I'm saying? And I love him. He's a great example to me, but he had his faults. And we were able to man-to-man talk about him, you know what I mean? And I said to him, I'm glad you did that so we won't have to keep this thing going. We can break this cycle.
Right.
He stopped. So, And that's all a part of when we talk about education. I know the formal aspect in terms of the skill and drill for reading, math, arithmetic, and those type of other
right.
stuff you're supposed to study. But there's another component to it, and that's stuff you should learn at home first.
Correct.
If you're not getting that from home, then where are you going to get it from? You know?
Exactly.
Who is going to ensure that those lessons are taught? Because whether you teach it or not, the baby's going to grow up, man. And it'd be bad
Correct.
If they get up at age and they don't know how to function, man, and they don't, you know, they don't have the answers that they need. That would be on us, man. That would be our fault. So,
correct. Exactly.
It's really a matter of saying to ourselves, okay, this is going to hurt a little bit because I'm going to have to swallow this little pill. That's on me. My bad. My bad. But in the end.
Right.
In the end, it's going to be good. All great. All great. All great.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah. So, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, they getting down over there, Alcat.
Dude, dunking out there.
He's got a little height on him. He's a little young fella, but he got some height on him, man. I like that. When I get big, I'm gonna be like, I didn't bring my tennis shoe, my basketball shoe, so I didn't have to play. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
But
you know,
all right,
tell,
go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, like my son. He just don't get it. You know, he got about what, maybe over three babies between,
okay.
you know, different women. And I mean, you know, I continually tell him, you know what you're doing, you know, that's not too good. You know, I mean, even though, you know, I had, you know, children by two different women. The thing is this, I took care of all of them. Even though I wasn't with their mother, my last two, I got custody of them. And he still don't get it. He don't get it. You know,
right.
Luckily, he's not paying child support right now. You know, but,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how is he? 37? Yeah, he's 37 years old now. And I mean, you know, you know, I say, hey, I throw my hands up. Yeah. You know?
Well, you know, even then, sometimes it takes people a little longer to get it, but the fact that you are able to have that honest conversation with him, it can be said that it's not that he wasn't told, you know what I mean, that he don't know anything.
Right, but see, it's the women. He feels that he had to have three and four women. I keep telling him, all you need is one, and one
That's
good
right.
one. That's all you need. One and one
right
good one. I said, you know, he suave, as one would say, you know.
Yeah. That's an interesting
okay.
thing. What makes brothers think we can't be happy at home with one person? And I know there are a whole lot of factors, you know what I mean? There are a lot of variables. But where do we get this notion that, I guess maybe the songwriter said it out, guys, if you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you with. Maybe that's, I don't know. Where we get that from?
Yeah. I don't know, man, but him.
Where we get that from?
You know, no getting through to him.
Yeah.
No getting through to him at all. You know, but,
nah.
You know, a lot of that keeps happening, you know. Hey. And he's not taking care of him the way that he's supposed to, and I don't like that at all. You know, I don't like that at all. You know, I come in, I do what I can. You know,
sure.
Like now, you know, the female he with now, you got a baby by her. You know, a daughter by her. She's about what, 4, 5? Yeah, about 4, somewhere like that. You know, like
okay,
I don't know.
Well, you know, I have a. Through the nonprofit fatherhood development piece, and that's what we focused on to really make it clear to young and old men that despite what happened yesterday, there's always an opportunity for a new day for you. You know what I mean? And as you look back on the past, just ask yourself, what must I do to do it better, to get it right? You see what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
So,
yeah.
And there are some lessons That's what we try to do here at Talk Straight, is let people talk what's real. That's what we're going to get better from, really understanding what's wrong. And when people try to discourage you from telling the truth, you already know they're on some shite. When they want you to be quiet, talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, and I forgot. He was married to one female. He got a daughter by her. They separated.
Okay.
Now, he's living with this other female. He got a daughter by her. Now, he done went back to his wife and got her pregnant again.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to pray for him.
Man.
We're going to pray for him.
I mean, you know, like when I get on him, I be on him. You know, I mean, you saying that, but yet and still, you know, you're doing what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I told him, don't call me or even try to talk to me when you intoxicated. don't call me. I don't want to hear. I said now. Okay. You know.
Well,
but anyway, I've been off my soapbox on that. like I told myself, they're gonna eat you alive and court to be able to slide to go. They're gonna eat you alive.
Yeah. Well, every now and then we got to get it off the chest. So what do you think about the return to school now? This heated debate. It seems like teachers' unions want to protect, understandably to some degree, you know, teachers so that they don't get sick, especially your older teachers, which I fully understand. And that looks like it's a big battle between what the unions want and what parents want in most school districts. Man, most parents want their children to go back to school. But look like we're going
I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, it look like different ones are trying to find every reason they can not to open them. What do you think about that?
Okay, what I think about that is this. That coronavirus is real, and it's killing people.
Right.
A lot of people out here, that they are making bets on who catches COVID first, and they win the jackpot, you know.
Oh, wow.
And that's wrong. I do realize that you have a lot of parents that are uneducated, and they can't teach their children, you know, the way that they need to be taught. I understand they got this viral thing that they're going to be doing, but again, a lot of people don't have access to computers and things in that nature. It is good, you know, if you could educate your child yourself, you know, with help from the Department of Education. It's just up in the air, you know. I don't think that they should put those children in harm's way, but I feel that they should have something, you know, that they can do, which they've been talking about different programs. As we know, people talk about charter schools and things of that nature, but they still fail to realize the fact that if you have an education yourself, you can home a lot of kids are homeschooled nowadays. They don't even touch a classroom.
Oh. Now you're talking. Now
what do you say on that?
Well, I mean, what most people don't know is that the state Department of Education, you all right, Lily? Sorry about that. The State Department of Education provides that option for parents to homeschool their children. There's guidelines for it, you know. But yeah, you can do that. And there are some people who realize that in the midst of Corona, they realize, doggone it, we were forced to homeschool them, and we did pretty good. And we can probably do better at keeping them focused on what was going on previously. You know what I mean? So, something to think about. Something to think about for sure.
Yeah, and you know, you got the Republicans and the Democrats. They don't want to fund charter schools and things of that nature. But a lot of people are not thinking, hey, charter school, you know, I can teach my child at home. Things that they're talking about doing this stuff virtual.
Sure. You know, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, most people that know me know that I designed a charter school model back in 2003. Hold on, we're coming to it in a little bit, man. And I advocated for it, but what I don't like is how big money people have politicized it out, guys. And it's become about, you got the right political connection and a deep enough pocket, then you can run one. Well, in the beginning, it was supposed to be about you partnering with parents to provide innovative means of instruction. we've gotten a long way from that, man. You know, and it doesn't seem like local, they're performing any better than many of the public schools here, or most of them anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it does
beg
the question that's being made there. Now, that is another option for parents. But if parents are not directly involved in policy making and things of that nature for the school, I'm not sure it's the best thing for them. But,
right.
Like Magnet schools. You familiar with the Magnet schools we got, right? And the lottery schools. I mean, come on, man.
You right.
Those, every parent wants the best education for their child. Everybody does. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even if you're
an
alcoholic, addict, drug addict, you want the best for your children. I believe that. I just believe that. And when you start picking and choosing who win and who lose by what schools they have access to, that's not good, man.
Right. But, you know, I mean, if you ever call the child, go to a magnet school, some of them may graduate, but, you know, St. Louis made a good point, and I agree with him. When you hit that college campus, you know, they're going to test you, and a lot of them, you know, have to go and take remedial classes and things of that nature. But what I like most about the school system now is you have to pass, what, the TCAP test and all that before you graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think I don't think I know that was a good thing because even in our time, as you know, Reverend Dockery, you had a lot of people graduating high school and couldn't even read, couldn't
That's
even
right.
spell. You know?
That's right.
You know that a lot of this was going on. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going, you're right. The fault is schools were just socially promoting students, man. As they got chronologically old, they were promoting to the next grade. Well, they missed the essential lesson in the early grade. Why do you socially promote? Well, because you don't want to leave them behind and blah blah blah. But then we missed the you know, that's our fault, man. That's grown folks. That's grown folks' fault. The parents and the teachers for letting that happen.
Right.
You know. So.
Right.
We got work to do. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Me, when it comes to education and a child, there are options. I would say this. So,
sure,
you know,
sure.
I'm not against a charter school. You know, I mean, if a person feels that the charter school is the best place for their child to go, and, like in the conversation a couple of days ago, Tuesday, when St. Louis was talking, you know, he was talking about Bay Day's kids and things of that nature. I can understand that people do not want their children around stuff like that. So therefore, you want to try to put your child in a safe environment. You know, they've always had a ton of good schools. I mean, even back starting, I think about the late 60s, or I know 1970, 71 for sure, because I got sent to a ton of good school.
Is that,
you know, because. You know, I was just going there in junior high school. I was basically fighting all the time. So, therefore, you know, they took me out of Sheffield High School, and they sent me to, I forget the name of that school they sent me to. I was one of Bebe's kids. So, that's understandable. You know,
I had my mom's too.
Right. So, you know, I mean, I say, you know, in the long run, you have a choice. I mean, it's your choice. You want to leave them in public school, leave them in public school. You want them to go to a charter school, send them to a charter school. You want to homeschool them, homeschool them. You know, there are options. But when we talk about homeschooling, someone in that house have to have a decent amount of education, especially nowadays,
in order
for the children, in order for the parent to keep up with them. Because, as you know, again, traveling back in the 60s, coming back up into the 70s, you know, a lot of people didn't take geometry, algebra, calculus, and things of that nature. They basically did basic math. But in today's time, they have those children, as you know, starting algebra and stuff like that in the fifth grade?
Sure. They introduced them to the basic concept. You know, really, after third grade is where you learn things like division and exponents and that sort of thing. And those are the type of things that you use in combination for algebra and things of that nature. if you miss out on it. But,
right.
Yeah, you're right. One other point you made is that I think it's at least a high school diploma that they expect parents to have, or GED.
Right.
When for the children, either
yeah.
that or you have a structured group class or school or facility or place
right.
that your children are going to, generally that the state approves
yeah.
to provide them instruction.
Yeah, because I think they lowered the scale on the parent being educated. I think because one point it was a having a degree, and I don't know, you probably, well, you know more about that than I do. I guess they went down to a high school diploma now, I guess.
Yeah, that's the minimum is a high school diploma that you got to have.
Right.
Right, yeah.
parents our age, again, you know, when you're going back down in the 70s and stuff like that, a lot of them didn't. They came out graduated doing basic math. When it comes to algebra, geometry, and sometimes when it comes to a composition in English and history and things of that nature, there's a downfall there also. You know, just because
correct.
You know they had a high school diploma on the wall, they, you know, in today's society they couldn't. They'd have to start all over again. You know?
Well, you know, that's funny that you say that, man. I want to say that was in 96, 97, they did an experiment,
mm-hmm.
right? And they were trying to see if teachers that have been out of school for a long time, if they'd be able to keep up
mm-hmm.
with past ACT and standardized tests, right? So they had them, they just randomly tested them, right? And found out that many
mm-hmm.
of them struggled. They had to go back and reteach themselves just to keep up. So you're right. I mean,
right.
even these are teachers. And
a lot of them, you know, you can give them the GED test and they wouldn't pass that.
Now, that GED test, they got hard. They done changed the standard on the GED test. They done changed the standard on the GED test. It's a little bit more challenging than what it used to be.
Right, because,
so,
you know,
I mean,
when I was incarcerated, you know, I was an inmate advisor and the teacher's aide.
Okay.
You know, inmate advisor is a lawyer. You know, I was a lawyer. And I was a teacher's aide. And, even the guards, you know, they'll say, man, I couldn't pass that test. You know, I understand. You know, because it was an era that you came out of schooling, you know, I mean, it's more advanced, you know, and like a lot of guys, you know, I see guys now, you know, that during the period of time I was in prison, you know, teaching them, you're getting them, they got the GEDs. When I see them, they thank me and try to give me money, but I let them know I didn't do that. You did that, you know.
You worked on it.
Yeah,
you worked on it. Okay.
Oh, yeah, you know, I mean, you know.
8112 out of Peoria. Welcome, lady. How are you? 8112, can you hear me?
I hear you. I said, how you guys doing today? You and our cast.
Great. We're out here in the smog. It's still hot and muggy out here, but we're at the Press Taylor Park for the
How's it going?
Man, these little fellas out here humping. They getting down, man.
That's what I'm talking about. That's good.
Listen, hey, I told Outkast I left my shoes at home, so I have an excuse not to get on the court.
Uh-oh. You ain't got to run, huh?
No, they seem to be doing well, and pretty soon, hey, you come to get a drink? Pretty soon we're going to give them some snacks and what have you and let them refreshing up with some Gatorade water. And we got some buckets out here they're going to play. You seen them bucket boys in Chicago? 12, you seen
what?
Them bucket boys in Chicago? Them little dudes that down on the subway, they playing them buckets. Well, we're going to show them how to keep a rhythm. Play a little tune.
That's funny.
That's what we're doing.
I'm pleased to hear
hey,
you're out there and everything's working well.
Oh, yeah. Pasquale's out there doing it. He's out there doing his thing.
All right, then. That's what them are doing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just listening in. You guys go ahead and chit-chat.
We were just
reflecting back on a couple of shows. Tuesday night, it was very interesting. I get emotional sometimes.
Take a cold. get a cold one, man. And then put another one in there once you get the cold one. Put a hot one in there so it starts getting cold. I'm sorry, guys. Go ahead. Y'all go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I mean, all of us get emotional sometimes.
That's
but
true.
At the end of the day, now, Puya, we were talking about education and the school system. They're talking about sending the children back to school right now. And
what
as we know, there are.
Outcasts, what do you think about?
Well, you know, as I was telling him, you know, there are different avenues that a parent can take. You know, if a parent is educated enough, which they can educate their children at home, they've got this virtual thing going on now that they're talking about bringing in. But, you know, right now, you know, that COVID-19, there's nothing to play with.
Mm-hmm.
One child being infected, you know, infects everybody. And, you know, it's options to be waiting.
I really do. I think it's very scary because their parents and a lot of them parents, they're around and they still run the streets and things. And not even just them that run the streets. A lot of parents work in hospitals. I have a daughter in the medical field. And
okay.
I tell her, and she has a problem with her breathing sometimes, so she don't want to wear the mask. The mask ain't going to save your life. I got that. But it could help you from spreading germs or contact.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And when they send these kids back to school, these little poor little babies, they already had a thing where people, babies was dying because they done got sick.
Right. Well, if I may.
It's too soon.
Go ahead.
I'm done, sir.
I was just going to say, if I might, they're still learning about this particular virus. So
yes, sir. The
most they got is some speculation. But so far, there's no evidence, as I understand it from what I read, that says children are likely those that are going to, that will infect older people. In fact,
yeah, because kids catch everything.
Well,
if one child got the chicken positive, you remember, and you from a large family, like myself.
Yeah.
One kid got a half of the whole house got it at the same doggone time. Oh, shit. I mean, excuse me.
Well, here's what. What's different about this, though, 12, is that it's those that are older or have pre-existing, major pre-existing conditions, health conditions, are the greatest risk.
Yeah.
And I hear why people say they don't want the children to come home and give it to their parents or grandparents. Well, the truth of the matter is the children are more likely to get by before the grown folk are, right?
Yes.
So what again, it's new. And they're still learning about it. But from what they've identified thus far, there's no threat that children will give it to one another or to older people, as I understand. But I think
that is what they said. But they also said it has no face, no color, and no name.
Yeah, well, now that's a fact. Now that is a fact. That is a fact.
That right there is in a nutshell by itself. That's scary enough alone.
Sure. Well, an outcast was saying that earlier, that it's not something to play with. You know what I mean? You said something the other night that was true. You said some of these people have been nasty all their life, and they should have been keeping good, healthy habits and cleanliness and what have you. I'm talking about old folks. I'm talking about grown folks. You go in a restaurant, and you see, go in the bathroom, you see the same person in there that didn't hit a lick of water on their hand, they the one at the smoke.
That's right.
At the salad.
Back there,
you know
cooking
what I mean?
Your
food. Uh-oh, don't say that.
I done worked in a lot of restaurants, and I say what I said, probably why I got fired a few times.
Yeah.
But they be in there doing different things. Some of them even be half-half. Done got
what?
High on the
no,
what are you doing? You
don't
are a risk. Not
don't
to just
that.
Me, you're a risk to other people. And there was nothing about COVID-19. But, I mean, if your hands are dirty and you're preparing someone's food, that could be me in another restaurant, and they doing the same doggone thing.
Right. Yeah. So in general, what it really comes down to, guys, is personal responsibility, right? So
it reminds me to eat at many restaurants, and I don't.
Well, I hear you on that. And
I don't. I really cook my own.
Whole idea about coughing. And not covering your, you know what I mean, when you cough.
Yeah.
People just be unconsciously rude. Yeah. In public
and
settings,
we were taught,
you know,
to cover your mouth when you sneeze and
right.
cough.
That's right. That's right.
Then go wash your hands.
Keep your hands right.
Yeah.
I was teasing with my wife. I said, going to the grocery store, I don't know who's going to go and put their hand on everything anyway, and then put their hand in their mouth or their eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
I guess it's people that does it. I guess people do it, though. I mean, but people I'm like, what?
Grapes and cherries and fruits and stuff, and they take
now
a little something to get away
yes,
with.
Yes, yes.
They
I
put all the tiny bits in their eyes, talking about they want to taste, see if it's fresh. Yeah, okay.
You don't know where your hand's been, and you're going to put it back on the shelf? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But,
well,
you know,
so that's what I'm going to go ahead out there.
But, you know, as stated, you know, they have options, you know, whatever option they choose to educate their child, let them do it as long as the child get educated, you know.
That's true.
That's what's important, big brother. That's
I agree
important.
With you, okay. They do need hands-on. They do need them communication with other people so they can learn how to get their, you know, their skills from that. But
yeah,
right now, I think it's a little too soon. They shutting all these states back down again.
Some
right.
of them are, yeah.
Yeah, because they were listening.
Well, our government here pulled back when they saw a rise in cases, which is another story, too. But they
yeah.
pulled back on opening up certain things. Now, the parks are still open and that sort of thing. But
they
pulled back on
what. Excuse me, but that's what they one thing they do need to close up. Because people get tipsy, and I'm a drinker. I ain't got to lie
okay.
on me. However,
okay.
I have not been to NAM bar. Wasn't going to many of them before this happened.
Okay.
Because
right.
so they say they practicing contact distancing, and then they get tipsy, and then one and the other one face or some man trying to talk to some woman, so on and so
what?
Forth.
No,
yeah.
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 That's what. Yeah, it's about the truth, though. I don't care if they married or not. Some of them still do it.
Oh,
now you
don't
get home, your husband or your wife sick, and your kids.
Help us.
When you could have stayed at home or stayed around 10 people, at least you can track something back down that way.
Yeah.
I don't trust it myself. But education, I've always been a... My kids are much more smarter with the books than I, and I'll be first to admit it. I hated school. I love reading, writing, coloring, things like that.
Everything
is not for everyone. Computers, I'm still learning how to work some things on the cell phone. Because I never got,
right.
I got an old lady in my own, trapped in my own self. That's just my mantel. It is.
Well,
and everybody around me doing all this modern, but one day it's coming back to bite a lot of people. We need it, yes, sir, we do, because it's the world we live in. Can't talk about what they kept talking about, what they were doing in 1800s and stuff. It's a whole new world out here.
Right, right, right. I tell you, you know, we talk about education a lot, and it's really a form of process for teaching and learning, right? But there are people who got education and don't have a lick of with sense.
Common sense.
I do.
They couldn't tie your shoe and gave me $100. You, I mean, so where's the balance at? Where's the balance at? And I'm all for education. I encourage it. But
I do too, but common sense is one of your first God-given born senses.
Well, yeah.
As you
but where you learn that at, Alfred? Where you pick up common sense? At the grocery store?
Nope.
I mean, where you get common sense from?
Your upbringing.
Well, now, there you go. And I guess if you didn't get any upbringing, you ain't got no common sense.
Well, sometimes you might not get it, but life will teach you. That's the best teacher in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Because
where you
won't listen to somebody, when you go through certain trials and tribulations yourself, oh, you'll get it.
You'll get
it three or four times, but eventually, if you don't die before you get it, then you know you got it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I have one question.
What's that? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
72 work in the hospital, right? I know she hasn't been calling lately. They must work on her, huh?
Yeah, she works very hard.
Yeah.
I've been worried about her. I'm going to call her one day. I don't know when to call, because when you're working like that, you be so tired.
That's the truth.
Yeah, and the situation going on is so much on your mind within itself to really people, you don't have time to even reach out to the people you love or care about because you're trying to find you and a balance.
Well, yeah. You know, they. My wife works in the clinic as a provider, and she works for Vanderbilt System, and now they're really going beyond asking, almost insisting that they come work in the walk-in clinic because the need has grown so much. So I guess, you know, when many people get sick that they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of rough on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they, I think they said 150,000. I don't want to misquote it. I'm not absolutely certain, but I think that's what I saw last night when I was watching the news, or the night before last. However, they making all these, not making, but asking them, because they are of the health industry, that they come out and help.
Right,
and this one man, his wife worked in the hospital, and he did too. Now he's sick. She's sick.
Is that right?
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know who is one, how much worse one is than the other, but they're risking their lives, and I thank them for that.
Because
it is serious. And people are taking it for granted. When they open them states up, including in PR, they're running around like chickens with their head cut off. All at the club, eat my son was down there. But my nephew, I'm not telling y'all crazy. Then y'all want to come over here and sit up under me.
If I didn't know any better, I think you got a problem with the club. Well, what's wrong with the club?
Baby, I was the club bigger. What's wrong with the club now? You got hundreds of people at the club big enough, and they taking up parking lots and everything, and standing and breathing on each other. And
I'm just teasing. Well, we got a solid on this. This is Talk Straight. We're at the New Way Outreach Ministry Basketball Clinic for 2020. And we got 3369 online with us. Welcome. We're just having open dialogue right now. In a little bit, the fellas will come over here and we'll give them some refreshment. We're going to show them how to do a little something on the drums in just a little bit. Welcome. Anything you have on your mind you want to share with us there? 3369. Can you hear us? 3369, you're on. Okay. All right. Going once. Going twice. Sold to the highest bidder. All right. Well, so guys, some of the other things we were really talking about is how we can put our arms around our babies that are out here 12 who understandably are concerned and confused about a lot of things in our country, in our nation. And I see where some of them come to the conclusion that, hey, there's no fairness and I don't stand a chance. So that's one of the other things that I know we've talked a lot about that I believe is critical that we do, and that is to embrace them like that. You know what I mean?
It is. If you remember, excuse me, we were talking about one of my eldest grandsons.
Okay.
And I was so excited because he had just lost his mom, and he tried to breathe life back into her, do CPR, in other words. And she passed away. And he was going through a real hard time, rebellious against me, his dad, which is his God-given dad, but not his, no, it's his, not his blood father, but he was his daddy all his life. That's why he became my grandson.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
So now, guess where he's at?
Where's
he's
that?
Back in Texas
with his dad. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because his blood dad turned out to be a flop. He did not support him. And the young man was taking things he had no business messing with, and he beat him up. But I'm so grateful that at least I know he's there, and this man loves him, which is my son, to take care of and will provide for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Good.
Educational-wise, because that's what they need. It doesn't matter who made you. If they're not going to love you and provide the things you need to take care of you, it doesn't matter. What matters
is right.
Someone loves you.
Right.
Well, I mean...
Okay, is that you, 3369? Hey, Josh, what's going on, man?
Not much.
All right. How you doing, little brother?
Hey, I'm surviving.
Okay.
I'm trying anyway. We trying. As long as we try, we'll be all right.
Josh, guess where we are, man? How y'all doing? We're outside, and we are here playing with some young men playing basketball, and many of them are learning skills. Hey, put some extras in there when y'all get through, guys, so they can be cold when y'all come back. Thank you. I appreciate it. There you go. And turn the ice around a little bit. That way it'll get all up cold. Yeah, flip it over so they get cold. And they're out here, man. They're having a pretty good time. And Pastor Wallace is coaching them and walking them through some things. And it's pretty good. I wish I could go out there and play. What's up, baby? All right. I wish I could play like these cats, man. They're pretty good. Some of them got skills. How you doing, man? All right. We'll get some more water there in a minute. Look, that's what we're here for. I'm sorry. I cut into our conversation.
Did I miss?
We abbreviated the show, Josh. So we're going to about 7:30 tonight. But we were out here broadcasting. In a little bit, we're going to invite the guys to come over here and play these drums, Justin, and see if they know how to get down. See what they got in. I told Outkast, somebody going to embarrass themselves here, and it ain't going to be me. Well, Justin, tell me something good, and tell me what's going on in the world, and if you've been able to wrap your mind around some of what's going on.
Well, thank you now everybody needs to be inside for the most part, unless you doing them ball. And doing it actively and stuff like that. You need to be inside. Stuff like that.
Okay.
COVID 19 or whatever.
Okay. Sounds like a winner. Well, we appreciate that, Josh. We were just going over some of the conversations we've had in the past. And I know I promised St. Louis and gentlemen from New Orleans that we're going to really focus on that conversation about education. A lot to be said there, and Outkast has given us some pretty good information about the importance of parents and children, you know, the power of parents being able to choose. You know what I mean? What do you think about that, Josh?
I didn't hear the last part you said.
All right, I'll sum it up. The power of and benefit of parents being able to choose the nature of their child's education, where they go, how they're taught, and that sort of thing. You got me?
Can you say it in a different form?
Do you think parents should be able? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can
hear
you.
Can you hear me? Okay, good. All right, I'm going to say it in a different way. Do you think parents should be able to determine where their children go to school, whether it's in a public school setting traditionally or a private school or magnet school or at
okay,
home. You with me now?
Yes. I don't think the child should be able to determine it. I think
the child.
I said the child should not determine the setting from where he goes to school and stuff like that. So no.
Okay, we were talking about the parents. What about the parents? You think parents should be able to choose that?
Yeah, I think they should control if they're homeschool, if they're go to private, or the other place, or they go to private or
public.
Yeah, I think it is their terms.
Okay. You know, I'll share with you all that one of my children finished high school at a private school, and the other one finished in public school. And she enjoyed her school. They did a pretty good job. But, you know, of course, you know, she had us, her mother and I, behind her, encouraging her to do her very best wherever she was. But she enjoyed the social of the public school. She played volleyball. She was in the choir.
Right.
You know what I mean? And other different activities and whatnot. She was in the science club. So there are some very good things about public schools, right? Sadly, this is the point you were making, Outcast. It's not fair, though, for everybody.
Yes. Like, see, this. The things that you just stated, you know, my daughters, they graduated from John Overton, you know.
Okay,
Mom was at John Overton from the beginning, and my youngest daughter, she started out when I bring them, to Nashville, she was over at McMurray. Again, like you just stated, they was in a lot of sports. Even the baby girl won the wrestle, which I objected to that. Volleyball, basketball, track, field. They was involved in all this, which I still have videos, you know, because I was recording a lot of it. You know, I would, when I get off of work, I would make sure that I, you know, went to their games and things of that nature. Parent being active in what their children are doing. This is
absolutely
the main thing. I do realize that a lot of parents, you know, can't do it because of various reasons. You know, us coming up, as you know, a lot of us came up in the house without a father. So therefore, if we chose to play, get on the basketball team or play football or whatever, you know, we did that. And you know, our parents, you know, the mother sometimes, they wasn't involved in a whole lot. But this is another main thing. Being there, supporting your children, you know, also. And this is something that I did. You know, as stated, I got videos now where they were doing track and field, basketball, and volleyball, and all that stuff. That's fantastic.
Yes, sir.
This is what's needed. And I, like yourself, I would sit down at the table, you know, with my children, you know, irregardless of what subject it may be. One of my daughters, she was doing the final, and she was doing math, and I worked the problem. I thought, tell you what, you get on the phone call homework hotline. Which you know that I was educated anyway. But I just threw it out there like that. And she got so rebellious at one point. What I did was this. I didn't whoop her. You know, I didn't scream or holler or nothing like that. I told her like this. I said, Sherry, you're going to fail math this semester. I'm done with you.
Okay.
Guess what? That semester she failed math. She came back, she humbled herself, and she listened to me and took on
Wow. Being there with them. This is
absolutely
what a lot of children are missing. This is what 12 continues to talk about. What about the children that don't have parents? This is where you, Reverend Dockery, and you know, are coming in, trying to fill the gap. 12 fill the gap also.
Right.
You know, this is what's going on where you are now. You know, trying to give them someone that they can come to, look up to, and guide them and steer them in the right direction. Now, 12 is right. I never argue with 12 on that. There are a lot of children that don't have nothing, not a parent. Some of them are hungry right now.
Good point.
Well,
you
want to
hit on that,
12? I mean, I appreciate what he's saying because I've always felt like that. And I understand. Call me what you will. I'm one of them urban American kids.
Okay.
I mean, urban children on the block.
Okay.
But I wasn't out there in the streets because I wasn't raised. I wasn't allowed to be in the streets like that. But my point is there's so many of them trying to find their own way as a child because the parents, so-called parents, aren't doing what they should do, some of them. And if you don't have that, we all need, God gave us two parents for a reason because we need a mommy and a daddy. That's just simple as that.
Right.
Just
that's
because you fall short don't mean you can't make it in this world.
Now, that's what's it right there. Who was that singing that song, "We Fall Down, But We Get Up"?
We
a
get up.
The same as just a sinner who fell down but got up. I can't remember the guy that sang that song, but that was a lot of stupid. You know.
We fall down, but we get up. If you wait,
we get right back up. So. Yeah. I mean, and I tell you,
of course.
Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead, Josh. Go ahead, Josh. Go ahead.
Also, even if you have just one parent, you can still strive to be the greatest.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You can strive to be the one that, works and doesn't want to fail. Even if he does, she or he does fail in a subject, he or she is striving not to fail that subject. He's striving not to fail it. He's like, what would that make sense? What would that make sense?
Right.
Try not to do this or this. And if we all do our part, we all overcome the things that we have not overcome, the world would be a lot overall a lot bigger, stronger, and it would go around.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, Josh. That makes sense. I'm gonna throw a snowball question at you guys here. When do you start going wrong in your growth and development as a person? Is there a certain age? Is it a certain place? Or what is it? How you start going wrong, Trev? can we pick? Because if we know that,
well,
it looks like we can, you know,
we can
do something.
Well,
I'm without kids. I got an answer for you, but
hey,
I think you start going wrong when you find yourself following others and straying away if you had those rules implanted into you from a child on up to the adult.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Hey, that's good that you said that, because, like, I started going wrong. I thought I was about, what, so far?
Yes, I'm a lady. I had kids for me at the got a grown, stanky man. I've been on my own since I was 6 years. I said, what the hell was that?
Well, consider this, guys. Children are much like tape recorders. And at a certain period, somebody push stop, rewind, and play. And what you're seeing from them is what unconsciously they've learned from those who were their significant others, usually their parents or caregivers, the environment that they create for them, right? So I don't know if I would blame children for going wrong. I would ask the question as a parent, where did I go wrong? What could I have done better?
As parents, we always say, how then where did I fail you?
Okay.
And not trying to fail you, thinking you're doing the best you can. But what a lot of people don't grab a hold of is, even though people with some of us at our age, Greg was taught, you're supposed to get married before you have kids. Unfortunately, that don't always happen like that. So on the flip side of that note, of that coin is, you did against, like I said, that's where you messed up. You went against what you were taught. Because people in our age bracket were taught them things. We came from strong backbone.
Right.
Mothers and fathers. We came from strong genes and strong blood. I know I did. Whether you knew one side, lost and trapped and didn't know where the other strength you had coming from, and all your strength comes from God, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
I mean, did I say something that made sense to you?
It does. That does make sense. But now, okay, you're saying that you're doing the best you can. Is there, from previous generations, aren't there lessons we can learn to avoid repeating certain pitfalls that were made generations?
Yeah, there is. You learn not to be caught in what you and Pastor Watt always say, the trap. And because a lot of times people figure, because young folks have street knowledge, they have no knowledge. They have some of the best knowledge in the world. What they choose to do with it is up to them.
Interesting.
Lesson earned is lesson learned, just like I said.
Well, now, but when do we stop bumping our heads, though? I'm with that, I'm with what you're saying, but at some point we ought to be bumping our heads now. Come on.
When you knock yourself unconscious, maybe it takes some of that sometimes. When you fall short, maybe it takes some of that sometimes. Maybe even if you feel like you're alone in this whole world, it may take that to get your attention. You can't call it when it's going to take for another man or a woman or a boy or a girl to know when they had enough. Only they can decide, I've had enough.
Well, let me say this. Let me share this with you. I hear what you're saying. My children didn't like all of the strict things because they weren't allowed to do everything they saw a lot of people do, right? But one of the things my wife and I always emphasized to them, structure, the discipline, and expectation that we're placing on you, one day you'll have to keep those on yourself as an adult. And if you learn how to do that now, you won't have to be a grown person out here acting like you're 15 years old. And then you don't have to keep repeating those problems. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, but how many young people, remember, we're keeping in mind all young people, but for the urban children, a lot of people don't have that choice. And whether they're young or old, they still people. They don't have that choice. They got to go out there and maybe steal a loaf of bread to feed little Sally or little Susie, which is their brother, their sister, which ain't their job, but they got to wear that wear.
I see what you're saying. I hear that. I've heard that before, too. But now we can break that though. We can turn that around though, 12.
How you gonna turn it around for this?
Well, so here's the first thing. It's important that you tell people the truth. See, that's the failure of preachers. They're not being honest with people, even if they're not a member of your church, about what's real. And don't kick the, well, be careful, don't kick the thing. What's real and what's not real.
Okay.
See, I don't care who you are, how old you are. If you drink bleach, it's going to kill you. So don't, mm-hmm. Let me not be lying to you. It ain't going to hurt you that bad. Just don't drink too much.
Right. See, well, there was mm-hmm. Your soul.
If you tell them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help them God, they ain't got to worry about making that mistake. Now, in the hood, it's a lot of stuff we done. I'm from the hood. I can talk about it. A lot of stuff we done that was just outright wrong that needs to change.
Right.
And if somebody's not telling us that, they're not a friend to me. By blowing smoke, Cowcast, I got to keep it clean there. You know what I'm saying? Don't be shooting no jazz. I mean, tell me the truth, man. You're going to help me. You ain't trying to help me. Keep lying.
Yeah, whether they like it or not, and I think that's one of my biggest problems. I got a big mouth, and I tell, it's my truth, though. They may not agree with my truth. That's where the problems sometimes come in at. Your truth is your own truth, and if you find somebody believing you enough to feel what you're saying and trying to teach them and tell them, even some of your own kids may go astray from the net.
They might.
And some of them do. And after they reach a certain age, that's not on you anymore. That's on them.
Yeah. That,
so
that's
far
true.
As punishing parents, all of them, no. Because
I wouldn't have.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wouldn't say that you should never label everybody. But the truth is, if you have a child, then the expectation from society is that you take care of them. You know what I mean?
That's
that you be responsible. So,
nurturing.
I mean,
right.
And if you don't know, then somebody should be willing to at least teach you. You know what I mean?
And you got to put someone in your path to help you do just that.
Correct. Now, sometimes we just hard-headed, well. Sometimes we just hard-headed. And sometimes I'm saying we outcast because I'm in there too, Josh. Sometimes we don't want to. Look, sometimes we don't want to do that.
Okay, that's where your whooping comes in at.
What?
That's where your whooping comes in. Not from your parents, because when God whoop you, you know you've been spanked real well.
Right.
He don't always kill
man.
You, and he just makes you open your eyes.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, well. See, life will whoop you though. If you don't want to learn, life will whoop you. You ain't gotta acknowledge it, but it'll catch up with you on it.
That's where God's at. And through your life.
Yes, ma'am.
When he spank your butt, you know you've been spanked. And you don't even know where it's coming from. But then again, you gotta think back, and he'll put that on your mind and heart too. You're gonna think back what you did to your mom and your daddy. Or just did. And trying to call yourself outsmarting the next person.
Dun. Well, you know, Josh, I used to think I was Superman, and I was told not to jump off the bed.
Yeah, I'm Superman.
Look,
I can survive.
Hey, Josh, I convinced myself I had super bad because I took a towel and a safety pin and tied around my neck, man. I just knew I was gonna be like, guess what, Josh? The ground didn't fail me, man.
I heard the floor though.
They told me not to do that. They told me not to do that. What did you say? A bought lesson is a good lesson, something like that?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I was being hard here, Josh.
You earned that hickey that laid on top of your head.
And unfortunately, too many people learn like that.
Yes, sir. I was one of them at certain time, but I thought I was a good kid, though. I tried to listen.
I know I wasn't one. I was nowhere near one.
Hey, but I don't like being locked up, so, I mean, I don't even like being locked in a room. I have a so I try to do the best I can, stay away from the popos as possible, and stay out of trouble. And I was always trying to stay away from trouble, but because I had a big family and we were raised that if you come from one, you come from all of them.
Yeah.
But I was one of them type of, because you done something to him, I don't know what he did to make you mad at him.
Uh-oh.
That's the type of child I was, and that's how I still am. One of my sisters used to say, well, you fraternizing with the enemy. Well, hell, they ain't done nothing to me. What did they do to you?
You ain't got no beef with them, huh?
Right. But then there's a flip side to every coin.
Sure.
Because if you didn't follow mama rules and she said somebody hurting your brother, your sister, you supposed to look out if you older. I'm the youngest daughter, so everybody's, you know, anyhow.
Yeah, your back.
Right.
Okay.
But I wasn't spoiled enough that I went out there and created problems. I never liked trouble.
I see.
Never liked it, even though it finds me a whole lot since in my middle age.
I was just going to say that. You don't have to look for trouble. It'll find you.
It finds me. I'm minding my own business. It don't work out like that because I can get a little high-headed, but I'm not a violent person.
Okay.
I am a verbal person. And because of that, I used to get in trouble as a kid for telling the truth. Mama called it her word.
You know what's well?
Word, that's
you what's well?
Yes, sir.
I can believe that about you. I can believe that about you, that you sometimes your mouth got a little bigger than your brain.
Yeah, you ain't lying. You ain't lying, though. I know that about me. I know that's sometimes one of my weaker points, but I also know my strong points. I'm a loving, caring, giving person. And I give my all, and I'm a humble person. And I like to remain a humble person, but when you let the devil steal your joy, what you know?
Okay. So in other words, you're not a killer, but don't push it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but I'm going to push you off the cliff. You won't see
it. Okay, all right. Man, look at the time already. It's 7:17, and we're going to cut out of here about 7:30. But I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys. They should be. You about done, Pastor? Y'all coming over? Okay. Pastor Waller going to sit in with us just for a few minutes here. They're doing it. What? Yes, sir. Come on. Say hello to the team, man. We got Outcast in. We got 12 in. We got Josh in. Come on. Sit down and say hello to us, people. Okay, I got you.
Right now, I think they're all right.
Yeah, they're looking good, man. I told them I left my shoes at home, so I had an excuse not to get out. Okay, yeah, come on, man.
I'm gonna see if one of them got an
E-pen. Facebook, check him out. He on Facebook yet. Yeah. Pull your seat up there.
He's
about
to
do a little trick for us out there. He on Facebook yet.
Yeah.
Now he think he won the Harlem Gold Driver.
Well, I didn't know nothing about them guys. I was just a little boy just doing stuff. I didn't know nothing about no Harlem Gold.
We're going to 7:30. Go ahead and do your thing. I'm gonna check on this over there.
Yeah, okay. And let me see if somebody have an E-pen. Right there where they are. Who on this land have an E-10?
That's Outcast.
Hello there. How you all doing?
And Josh.
Yeah, everything's all right.
Success.
Yeah, thank you all. You know when a man come out on the ground and then put you on the spot, you know what you got to do when you come out here. So I thank God. Yeah, I thank God that he got you all on land. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to know that you got the kids out here, they're having a good time, and it's a peace. You know, every now and then we need to learn how to appreciate a moment of peace, you know? And that's what's happening out
that's
here.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
How you all doing? And Pastor Doctor got me on his spin in the basketball, and I thought I'd do a little demonstration just for a moment. Let me see how long I can hold it up.
Guess what? You still got it in. You out there hanging with
them. Yeah, I'm out here doing a little something with them, but I'm over here doing something that I'm doing. Nobody's bothering me. Nobody's trying to check me, trying to take the ball away from me. I'm over here spinning the basketball all by myself. Check this out. I'm going to do something. I think I call it the walk the dog. Let me see if I can walk the dog.
I heard no pastor say that.
So I walk up and down my fingers, and I wanted to see if I can take it up and down, back and forth, and I just did. And then I'm going to have to kiss it and dismiss it.
What?
Yes, sir. I'm
gonna have to kiss and dismiss it. You jumped up in the air?
Not yet. No.
Oh.
I'm going to get back out on that court.
No, you better let them kids jump. You better let them kids jump up in there. We don't want you hurt. I want to talk to you next Tuesday, boy, bless.
Yeah, a partner man told me the other day, he said, yeah, you know you're old. I was like, oh, they grew up with me. So I think I'll take keys to that on his first night. But I don't know about the next night, Pastor Doctor.
I'm getting my shoes tomorrow.
Yeah,
I'm getting my shoes.
Yes, sir. See, tomorrow's my birthday.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know.
Happy
birthday.
Happy birthday.
I didn't want to say anything about my birthday when you scheduled it from the 9th to the 11th. I said, well, this is a good place for me to be on my birthday, dealing with something that I love.
Yeah,
basketball that I love. And I thank God for you all again. And I trust that what's happening right now, according to what Pastor Doctor is doing, he's seeking information and he's ready to distribute it. And
right.
That's a good thing. See, when you seek information and you get it, and then you're willing to distribute it, it has to do with, it should bring forth an excitement for those that know him or those that's encouraging him, those that, some may even have doubt. But what we like to do with the ones that have doubt, we like to do like those young kids out there. You know, I let them play against some of the guys that's much older, and I wanted them to do them in. I mean, they're much older, and they did. Around by 20 to 4.
They got
came back and now they're doing a lot better. So sometimes it takes one that doubt you to give you the strength to push on.
Right.
And the scripture talks about using them as a footstool. And that's what the Lord says.
Right.
They sit on the right hand. Until I make your enemy your footstool. Glory to God. So my past life became a footstool of mine, and I'm just grateful to be able to be out here and do something that I love and always have loved.
Tell us about the flip side, man.
That's the style of living that I ended up getting on the flip side.
Yeah.
The demonstration is going to be in my next book, but I'll give you a briefing of it.
Okay.
One day I was, like, caught up out into the world, and I ended up getting the indictment. And I went to a treatment center by force. I didn't want to go, but I went by force. And while I was there, I met this sister, and I knew her brother because we grew up together. And she had been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So people down there listening to her, they didn't want to hear what she had to say. But I knew her real well. To make a long story short, she said to me, she said, as long as I stay over here, I was all right. And I said, my goodness, that sounds like a flip side. I didn't know I was going to come up with the flip side, but from that day on, I invented the flip side. And as long as I stay on the flip side, I would never go back. And I never went back. So I've been on the flip side for 28 years. Whom best can tell somebody how to stay on the flip side? So I'm ending up coming up now with a book, and I just trust that it'll do some good for somebody. I need some more material. You know, I don't want to keep it to myself. Because one thing I did not do, Pastor Doctor, when I was doing that other stuff, when I corrupted my community, I didn't keep that stuff to myself. I distributed it. So now it's time to distribute something.
And let me just say this.
Yes, sir.
Where we're standing right now is where he grew up when he was 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Oh, yeah, man.
Right here, where we are right now.
Awesome, brother.
Right here, brother.
Don't get me started, man. That'll hurt me right there to think about Moses McKissick, you know, think about when I was a little boy, a little innocent kid, and all of a sudden I got captured. So I want to make sure that the kids be able to escape that.
Yes, sir.
Because that's what the enemy is doing. He's setting another generation up to capture them, and my job is to make sure I get some information to them to let them know that there is a flip side.
Yes, sir.
And they don't have to wait until they're 34 years of age to find out. See, I didn't find out until
I
was 34 years old. And I thank God that but I'm still standing. Well, praise God.
Two things. Will you say hello to DeAndre Cross, Samantha Stovall, Ms. Kim Tony? Will you say hello to them there on Facebook?
Hello to all you Facebook. I mean, you're doing your thing. You're letting us know that you're watching. And we just want to thank God for you. And keep tuning in because we need you. We need your comments. We need your opinions because that happens. But most of all, we need your support. And I thank you for coming in, being in with us. Pastor Doctor, he's doing a great job. And so now we have to wind down, I'm sure, and I'm going to get up out of here and go back down on the court. But what I'd like to say to you all, that there is a scripture that I'd like to leave you with, because we need love in our community, and I'm sure you all would agree with this. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, let brotherly love continue. That means it's ongoing. Amen. And so I just want to let you know that that's something in my heart, and I believe if your support, let it continue. Encourage Pastor Doctor. Tell him to keep doing what he's doing.
All right.
Amen.
Well, we appreciate it. We're going to bring the little fellas over in just a little bit. But, guys, we're going to have to wrap up a show here because our time is just about coming near. Final thought from everybody right quick. We got about 5 minutes. I appreciate that. I want to echo what Pastor Wallace said. We appreciate you guys for being good soldiers and tuning in with us. Y'all learn me something. That's what the old folks say, Outcast. You're going to learn me. So y'all learn me something today. And I hope you get well soon so you can get back out here, man, and do what you do there. Final thoughts?
Well, I enjoyed the conversation. 72 was not in, but I guess sooner or later she'll be in. And I appreciate 12 coming in. That's all I have to say.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate all you guys. What about it, 12? You done learned me something, too.
Well, I learned something every time I listen to all of you guys except St. Louis, but I learned something from him, too. I just don't like his tactics. However, that's not here or there. Appreciate all y'all. Love y'all. Hope y'all stay safe and keep doing what you're doing. We all got to hang in there for our children, grandchildren, and even them that don't belong to us because they all belong to God.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Josh, give me a final thought, man.
Hey, keep doing what you're doing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise God be the glory. God be the glory. We appreciate all you guys. And we'll be back Tuesday night. We'll be back Tuesday night, but of course, tomorrow and Saturday, providing that we don't get rained out tomorrow. The Lord was gracious and let us come on out here today, and it rained earlier, but it cleared up for us, and the courts were dry enough. So we're praying that we have a repeat of that tomorrow. Saturday is supposed to be pretty good, so. We'll have our finale, and Saturday we hope to have our parents out here to chat with us, and we probably do a Facebook live stream on that, but as far as the talk show, we'll be back next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight. Thank you all. We appreciate you. Thank you guys online, and we'll look to hear from you guys next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While the secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition. It's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag at 2020 DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go.